Hello, this is Fanny again, September 1857. We are all still in Swampscott, but not for much longer. This time I'll read about a troubling time for my family, especially for my father, the financial panic of 1857. Thursday, September 3rd. This evening we had the most splendid time I think I ever had. Charlie, Eddie, Helen, and I went out on the bay with Charlie as rower. I saw for the first time the Aurora Borealis, which was perfectly superb, changing constantly and very bright, sometimes showing the colors of all of the rainbow. I also saw a meteor, very bright, fall. The moon swept quietly on the water, and we seemed sort of moving without within over the calm surface of the sea. Friday, September 4th. I had a letter from Louisa tonight wanting Emma, Charlie, and me to spend Monday with her. But as the hubbies are coming and Charlie is going into Father's counting room to become a banker, only Emma will go. Tuesday, September 15th. I know I shan't have a letter from Addie tonight, but I will try not to break my heart or melt away into a Niobe. As the Greek myth where all 14 of Niobe's children are slain, and she is transformed into a rock by Zeus, hoping to quell her pain. Oh, what else can I write? I wonder if this should be called a rhapsody of the pen? Again, I reluctantly lay aside my steel. For once in my life, I am mistaken. I did have a letter from Addie, but it was descriptive. My abomination. So that, though, she told me to write soon. I shall not write at all. Saturday, September 19th. In the 6 1/4 train, Father, Mother, and Charlie arrived from Boston. This week has been a terrible one for businessmen. There are hard times. Father says everybody is failing. I dreamed last night that Father himself did. He was rumored to have failed. He said twice at supper he'd hope he'd never see another week like this, and he looked very sober. Wednesday, September 23rd. Our third day back at school in Boston. We recited this morning our first lesson in intellectual philosophy. I think I shall like it, though it requires hard study. Lawrence and Stone think of failing. It is perfectly dreadful. Everybody is failing. Monday, September 28th. Father really thinks he may fail. He asked me if I should not feel sad. I hope he won't, though. It certainly would be a little variety. This morning I read Sir Walter Scott's Waverley. Wednesday, September 30th. This afternoon I went for Louisa, and we talked at the toll house and talked chiefly about the hard times. It is really dreadful. Everybody going but Father, and he seems to think he may too. Thursday, October 1st. Mr. Slade's concern smashed today, and Mr. Lawrence is expected tomorrow or tonight. Mr. Butler has failed. Saturday, October 3rd. I went down to Swampscott at 5 to spend my last Sabbath there this summer. Tuesday, October 6th. This afternoon, quite late, we moved in from Swampscott, and the hubbub was great as usual. I was rather startled today when Annette Rogers said she wanted us to come out to Brookline and stay with her from Wednesday to Saturday. We naturally thought of standing on our heads at the very idea and inwardly screeched with joy. The times I'm perfectly sick of mentioning. New failures every day. I'm quite anxious about Father, and we form new plans daily for economizing. Wednesday, October 7th. The Rogers place here in Brookline is the most gorgeous place. An exquisite garden full of delicious flowers. Whole rows of heliotrope and geraniums. Some rods long and a yard wide. A whole plot devoted to roses. An immense orange tree filled with immense oranges. There were also, such grapes, Delectable pears and melons. Wednesday, October 14th. The large cotton mill owner, J.C. Howe and Company, at which a friend's father is a partner, suspended today. They feel pretty badly, I guess, though they have a property enough to pay all they owe. The New York banks suspended yesterday, so today Boston banks had to. I don't see how father keeps up and mother says that merchants come to him for help with tears in their eyes.